Once again, this is Jim Rowell, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to give you a little update on what's going on. I'm coming to you from Kenya here today, and we have clouds and rainy weather here right now. I had rain last night and rain the night before, so we're into the time of the short rains. And we have our maize planted, we have our groundnuts planted, that's peanuts to us Americans. And we're also planting sukuma, that's kale, and Chinese cabbage, and lots of greens. The children eat greens every day. And we now have about 16 children at the house, going to school there and living there full-time. And we are going to be getting a three-month-old baby in another week or two. We also have a child that has sickle cell anemia, which is a very destructive illness. It's a blood illness. It keeps the red blood cells from taking up oxygen, and so many sickle cell patients, especially here in Africa, it's very common. Many sickle cell patients don't live very long. Many of them die when they're 12, 15 years old. And so we're praying for this little girl, and you can pray with us to have the Lord heal her. Her name is Frida, and she is about 10 years old. And so you can pray with us that the Lord will touch this little girl and heal her, and she will not need to be on a lot of medication, and God will just miraculously heal her of sickle cell anemia. And as far as the construction goes, we are building a house for the pastor right next to the new church that we built. And so that is going to bless him. We'll have him in that new house within about a month. And so that will be a good place for him. It will give us security around the church, and also he'll be close where he can shepherd the flock as God's desire for him to do. So we're very happy with all the progress, and we invite you to participate with the Africa Mission and with Gather the Outcast, and you can do that. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, or look at my Facebook page, Jim Rowell, or you can go to the website, gathertheoutcast.com, and see updates and hear radio archive broadcasts, all of that going on. And we're very, very happy to be doing that for the Lord, and happy that you can share with us as we accomplish for the kingdom here what God desires for us to do. Well, today we're going to be talking about I am the resurrection. This is a statement that Jesus made about himself. It's quite a story. I have preached this message several times in crusades. It's a wonderful crusade message, because the confession of faith that comes from Martha here is the confession of faith that you want people in a crusade to confess. And so this is a wonderful teaching for people who don't know Jesus, and it's a wonderful lead up to lead people into that confession of faith and into their walk with the Lord. John chapter 11, verse 1. There was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to Jesus. Jesus was in another town. They sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Well, I'm going to stop right there and just make a comment about this. Beloved, there will never be a time when there is not sickness on the earth. We are in a fallen state. We are in a fallen world, and there is sickness. You will have sickness. I will have sickness. Our friends, our relatives, our mother, father, our brothers and sisters will have sickness, and there is no time when anybody will have perfect health. Yes, you can take care of your body, you can take care of your health, and I highly recommend that you do that. Eat good food, drink good drink, take your vitamins if that's what you desire to do, eat organic food if that's what you desire to do, get plenty of rest, and you will live a better life, a longer life, probably, and you will probably feel better and stronger for it. But there is no time when you're going to escape all sickness or all infirmity or all health issues. And even if you live a very strong and active life, at some point you're going to die. And so there is a time for everybody to go. There's a time for everybody to rest. We are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. It tells us in Hebrews 9:27. And so everybody is going to die. Most people are going to get sick. Some people just die of old age. They just wear out. Other people die of cancer or accidents. But Jesus said about his friend Lazarus, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So Jesus knew something about Lazarus. He knew something about this sickness that the sisters did not know and that his disciples did not know. And so Jesus, because he was divine, he was fully man, but he was also fully divine. He had the prophetic insight to know what was going on with Lazarus. He also had the prophetic insight to know what his own power was and what he could do to help Lazarus in this situation. And so he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God," because Jesus knew that this situation was going to bring glory to God. And beloved, even in spite of all the things that we know about sickness, in spite of all the dread that we have of sickness, most of the time, or maybe all of the time, I don't know, most of the time for sure, it brings glory to God somehow. And not all the time, I would say, because sometimes children get sick. We're left with questions about why they were given sickness, or why they contracted sickness, or why they contracted cancer. And yet that's just the fallen world we live in. Sometimes children get sick unto death. Sometimes adults get sick unto death. Sometimes people get in car accidents unto death. But Jesus said, "This sickness is not unto death, and it is going to bring glory to God." And I hope you see that somehow, even in the midst of sickness, even in the midst of death, even in the midst of this fallen world, when people get sick, when people have illness, it generally puts them on their knees. It generally causes them to intensify their prayer life. It generally causes their loved ones, their family, their children to intensify their prayer life. And so God uses sickness to bring glory to Him. God uses sickness to bring people closer to Him, that His name will be glorified. And beloved, if you pray and ask God to heal your sickness or heal other people's sickness, it gives us reason to pray, but also it gives us reason to believe and hope for healing and hope for restoration and all of these things. It gives us reason to hope. It gives us reason to pray. And so in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the heartache and the heartbreak that goes along with sickness, we can sometimes see that picture that God has. We can see the whole picture that God has, that we can know God in a greater way through our own sickness and through the sickness of people that we love, because it causes us to pray, it causes us to depend more on God, to trust God, and also it makes us realize that no one is immortal, that we're all going to die someday, we're all going to get sick and have to depend on God or have to have others to take care of us. And so it is a humbling process. Sickness causes us to be broken. It causes us to be humbled. And so we can somehow draw closer to God through sickness that brings glory to Him. Well, Jesus waited a couple of days before He went to Lazarus' village. He wanted to make sure that this sickness would bring glory to God. And the way that He knew that it could bring glory to God was that He would not rush over there and get there within a few minutes or a few hours after Lazarus died. He wanted to make sure that Lazarus was dead, 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 that he was in the tomb, that his body had a stench about it, and that people would know that if Lazarus died and that he was resurrected after a few days of being dead, that this would be the most astounding, shocking, startling miracle that they would ever know about or ever hear about or ever see in their life. And so Jesus wanted to make sure that Lazarus was dead. And so he waited a few days before he went over there. Well, as he approaches Bethany, this is about 4 days later after he has been given the word. 17, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Well, it's a typical funeral scene, and we see those in Africa where the funeral lasts a week. Outside of coronavirus times, the African funerals here last a week, and the family comes and consoles with the family, and the loved ones come and they eat and they prepare food for hundreds of people, and that is what is happening here. And so many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary was still sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And so she felt like if Jesus had been there, he could have prevented Lazarus from dying. She believed that Jesus had the power. She had the faith and the belief that Jesus had the power to prevent her brother from dying. "But even now," she said, verse 22, "I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And that is the first inkling, that is the first statement or clue that he gives to these girls, that he is going to do something miraculous, that he is going to do something supernatural through the death of their brother Lazarus, that something supernatural is going to happen and it is going to bring glory to God. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Well, Martha didn't understand what he was talking about. She says, verse 24, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She's speaking of the resurrection of the dead, which many of the Jews believed in, the resurrection of the dead at the time when the Lord comes and takes all of the dead ones home. And Jesus said to her, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." And then he says in verse 26, "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And so this is the question that Jesus is going to ask you when you come face to face with him. And so that is why this is such a powerful message to preach at Crusades, is because it is the very same question that Jesus is going to ask you when you come face to face with him. Do you believe I am the resurrection? Do you believe that you will have eternal life? Do you believe that you can live even if you die? And so what he's talking about here is this: Jesus is the resurrection. He proved that because he himself was resurrected. Jesus said, "I lay down my life for my sheep and I take it up again." And so Jesus was not held by death. The sting of death had no power over him. Death had no victory over him. 3 days after he was put in the tomb, 3 days later, he spent 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. 3 days later, he was resurrected. And he was ushered up into glory. He was ushered up to sit at the right hand of God because he is the resurrection. And he said, "If you believe in me, even if you die, you shall live." What's he talking about? He's talking about even when you face physical death, even when you face natural death, and your day on this earth is over and your day is done, and God says, "It is time for you to come home." Jesus said, "Even if you die, you shall live. You're going to start your new life. You're going to start your eternal life with Jesus Christ, with Jehovah God, the Holy Spirit, with the saints in heaven and the angels of heaven, the moment you close your eyes here on this earth, you're going to start that eternal part of your life in heaven. At that moment, the angels of God are going to be sent and bring you up to the throne room of heaven, and you will be there face to face with Jesus, and you will hear him say, "Come in, my good and faithful servant, I have prepared a place for you." So even if you die from this earth, yes, your loved ones are going to grieve, hopefully, and yes, your family will be sorry and they're going to miss you, but beloved, the best part of your life, that eternal life with the Lord in heaven, will begin the moment you close your eyes on this earth, if you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And in verse 26, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You're not going to ever die if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Yes, your clay, your earthly body is going to lay down in the dust. Your earthly body is going to go back to dust at some point. But your glorified body that the Lord gives you on Resurrection Day, that glorified body will be transported to heaven, and you will spend all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And somebody should shout hallelujah right there, because that should give you hope that no matter how bad things get here on this earth, no matter how chaotic or how much sickness there is here on this earth or how much virus there is on the earth, beloved, God knows your last day here on this earth, and if you know Jesus Christ and you believe he is the resurrection and you believe that he conquered death and that he now sits at the right hand of God, you don't have to worry about your death. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't take care of yourself. That doesn't mean that you just stay in your house all the rest of your life, or it doesn't mean that you do foolish, stupid stunts and put God to the test. What it means is, if your faith tells you that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he is the resurrection, he is the way, the truth, and the life, he is the living water, he is the bread of life, he is the door to the sheepfold, if you believe that he is all those things, you don't have to fear your death. You don't have to worry about your eternal life, what's going to happen to you. You can know for certain that the moment you close your eyes on this earth, that you're going to be transported to heaven and spend all eternity with the Lord and with Jehovah God. Well, Jesus says that to Martha, and she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." So she made the confession of faith. And this is a confession we ask people to make when they come forward at the altar, at the crusades. Sometimes we have hundreds of them at the same time. Make that confession of faith. Do you believe? Do you believe? The mechanics of salvation require you to make a confession of what you believe. It's not just repeat after me. I ask people a question and I say, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And if you believe that, just as the people at the Crusades, just as Martha here makes that confession of faith, you say, yes, I do. And if you're making that confession, if you're making that belief right now today, go to someone else, somebody you know who is already grounded in the faith, grounded in the kingdom. Go to that person and make that confession today. It may be a pastor, it may be an elder, or just a close friend that you know is walking with the Lord. Go and make that confession today. Let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll send you some information and some literature to get you started in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Martha, she then exits from the scene, and Mary runs up, the other sister, and she says the same thing to Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then when Jesus saw her weeping and the other people standing around weeping, Jesus also wept, verse 35. And then verse 36, the other Jews standing around see how Jesus loved Lazarus. Well, Jesus loved Lazarus because he was a brother to Jesus. just like Jesus is our closest brother, he's our closest friend, and he is also the Lord God Almighty and our Savior. Just like we have a heart, he had compassion for Lazarus, he had compassion for his sisters. And so when Jesus saw all of these people and their grief and their sorrow, he also had sorrow in his heart. Well, Jesus then proved his divinity. He proved his power, that he was the supernatural Son of God. In verse 38, Jesus, again groaning in himself, he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who was dead, said to him, "O Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, verse 40, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Well, Jesus is starting to reveal his plan to Martha. They hadn't really understood why Jesus waited and why 4 days passed before Jesus came to perform this miracle. And now Jesus is saying the time for you to see the glory of God is right now. And they took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out of the grave, and he came bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, "Loose him." Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." And Lazarus then came out of his grave clothes, and he was set free. He was delivered. He was resurrected. He was given new life by the Lord Jesus Christ and his supernatural power, because God heard the prayer of his son Jesus Christ. Well, it says in verse 45, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. And so that's how the glory of God was revealed. That's how this situation brought glory to God. That's how this situation, which looked like a dire and hopeless situation from the point of view of Mary and Martha, how this situation turned, and Jesus used this situation, this death, this sickness, which was not unto death, he used this death to bring glory to God and to show people the supernatural power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, one thing is for certain, we're all going to die. One thing is sure on this earth, and people say death and taxes. Well, I think there's three things now: turmoil or chaos and death and taxes. But I can tell you for sure, at some point, this earthly chaos and earthly turmoil are going to be over, and the taxes will be over, and you're going to face your death face to face. You're going to come to a point where your last breath has been breathed, and you will either go to one of two places. You will either go to your eternal home with Jesus Christ and Jehovah God, or you will go to the place that was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his fallen angels, the devil and the demonic horde, and that place we call hell. But those are the only two choices that we have, and you make that choice while you're living and breathing. Once you die, nobody can pray you out of hell. Nobody can pray you out of heaven. Nobody can pray you into heaven or into hell. You make that choice by your own will, by your own willful choice. You are appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." John chapter 14, verse 6. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What must we do to be saved? Acts 2:37. What must we do to be saved? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is for you today. It is for every person on the earth. It is for every person to make that decision. And you, if you have not made that decision, you need to make it today. I am pleading with you to make it today. Let the Lord intervene in your life. Let the Lord arrest you in your life and stop you if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you confess Him today? Would you say, Jesus, I want to serve You. I want to confess my sins. I want to repent and turn in my wicked ways. And I want to let You be the Lord of my life. Would you do that today and let Jesus lead you? And you don't have to fear your death after this day. Well, thank you for listening today. We have contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you to support this ministry, to support the radio broadcasts and all the good work going on in Africa. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.